Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Paula Usted Inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number two is upon us. Myself, Rachel King, conservative mama, and we got another full hour in store for you, so thank you for joining us. All right, so our next guest, it's Amity Schles. Am I saying that right, Amity?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. And you're co-editor of a new edition of the Autobiography of Calvin Coolidge. And basically, it's talking about why presidents should avoid great for their own good in the nations. And explain, because I think I understand, but I need you to fill in the blanks for me.
Well, one thing about the word great, which we heard from President Biden, and of course President Trump, is that it sets expectations high and you can't always live up to great. And another problem with talking about great for the nation is that you end up making great when you're a president, even a great being about yourself, right? And the danger there is that the presidency becomes about the man and not about the service or the institutions. And one of the things that's so interesting about Calvin Coolidge, who did get great results in terms of economic policy, was that he made it clear he was just a servant of the people. So he said, let's not talk about great, let's talk about trying to get to good, and I'm certainly not great. He had a wonderful line. I recommend this president to everyone because he was so different and yet so familiar. He said, it is a great advantage to a president and a major source of safety to the country for the president to know that he is not a great man, that he's just another servant doing his job. Mm. It's totally different from the way we talk now. It's a great advantage. And his neighbor said, you know, Coolidge kind of played Mr. Nobody. Some of this is theater. Nobody gets to the White House without being really shy, right?
Right.
He was not really shy. He just understood that he would get more done if he gave others the credit, if he stayed in the background, and if it wasn't about him.
That's an interesting combination because you have to be kind of arrogant to think that you can lead the greatest nation on earth and to be at the helm of that ship, but at the same time have a servant's heart. So that's really interesting. I'm going to read
more into it. I guess, you know, Amity, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I can think of maybe another president that I think was somewhat that same way, and that would be Truman. Am I right in my thoughts there?
Yeah, Truman and Eisenhower had serving moments.
Hmm.
Eisenhower, after all, was a general, but he was also a soldier, right?
Right.
A soldier often serves someone
right.
he doesn't particularly
right.
like on a mission, by the way, that he questions, right? Think of Vice President Pence, in fact. But he knows he's got to serve. He has orders. And sometimes that's better. What I like about Coolidge was it wasn't that he understood he was operating in a period of disruption to the Republican Party, very similar to today, because they had a scandal at the Republican Party called Teapot Dome. And Teapot Dome really was terrible. The government was advocating more freedom for the private sector, and then it was selling oil contracts to its friends.
Hmm.
In the private sector. So it was besmirching the very idea of what we would call privatization, right?
Okay.
If you're going to be for privatization, you better privatize honestly and not just hand out contracts to your friends.
Right.
Yes.
And Coolidge landed in that when Warren Harding died, and he said, I'm going to give my all to the principles, low taxes, smaller government, balance the budget. and I'm going to give my all because I have to clean up the presidency. And if I act arrogant and have parties in the White House and break the prohibition law, that was period of prohibition, which is a hard law not to break, right?
Right.
If I publicly break the prohibition law the way Harding did with his parties, well, then the people won't follow me on the necessary
right.
project.
Right.
So it's a kind of act of a discipline when you say, I'm going to give myself to catching this ball no matter what happens to my elbow. You know, I'm going to give my all to this project, which includes behaving impeccably.
I think we've lost the servitude heart in politics. I really do. I think
things.
It's become like a celebrity style thing instead of a heart of service.
That and combine that, and we're talking Amity Schles, by the way. And Amity, one other thing I would add to what Rachel just said that I think we've lost is true leaders in politics that really understand small government. As much as I love Donald Trump, I don't know that he really, because of his background, where he was raised, and so on, really even understands what that means.
Small government.
Right,
less.
Small government.
Less is more,
I'll just,
actually.
I'll just say, here's where Coolidge is really useful. We really like this autobiography. It's good for children. It's short. It's brilliantly written.
Yeah.
Coolidge was a gifted writer. So when you have federalism, right?
Right.
When states have some power, always looks bad in a crisis, right?
Okay.
Katrina, COVID, mm-hmm. Wait, where are the vaccines? What is this about states
right.
and all that? That doesn't mean federalism is bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just means if you want to get a gotcha of federalism looking fumbly, you wait for a crisis. Wait, Bush
so
didn't
true.
Go down.
Yeah, like, for example, what's going on in Texas
as
we speak.
Right.
That's a great example.
If the media were not Biden's friends, let's be honest, it would be Biden's fault that Texas happened. It's not Ben. It's all like the focus is on, you know, the governor there and the
right.
state and all that. But if Trump was at the helm of the ship right now, it would have been Trump's fault that Texas is freezing.
Right. But, you know, we have a system in the United States that worked pretty well with these states.
Agree.
Running
mm-hmm.
their own beautiful
Agree.
Experiments.
Yep.
That's how we learned that rights work was really valuable.
I agree.
That is, some states less unionized than others when they opted out. What did we learn? There were jobs there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We yes.
never would have learned that if every state had stayed unionized. So Coolidge had a crisis like this, which was he had his own Katrina, a flood in the South, the great flood of the Mississippi. It was terrible. Tens of thousands of people were displaced.
Yeah.
But he didn't go down to the flood. And everyone said, he's cold. It doesn't have anything to do with him. That's why he didn't go down. That's not his constituency. He's from New England. And then there was like this divine retribution. And there was a flood in his birthplace, Vermont.
Yeah.
And Coolidge said, can you imagine? And Coolidge said, I can't go because I didn't go to the South. I'm the president of the whole country. I'm not some little vote getter from my state or my birth state, which are massive. And the Vermonters actually understood. They said he can't do for his own what he didn't do for others.
Wow!
Right in
yeah.
the United States, and actually they welcomed him back with open arms. He had a sort of legislative agenda too. He really didn't want the federal government to get in the business of building all the infrastructure to prevent floods. It subsequently did, but he wanted to stop that, and he knew that if he went to the crisis, to his Katrina, those photos would make the people think, the federal government, Washington, should do it.
Great point.
That takes enormous discipline and a willingness to be unpopular.
Great point.
So I think he's more relevant than we think. There are plenty of people like that. They just don't get enough airtime.
Fascinating.
This is great. I appreciate it. Where do folks get the book for, to your point, especially as we raise young people and we need to get them as much information as possible and the real stories of what's gone on in our history, where do they find it?
Well, they can buy this book on our Coolidge Foundation website where we teach young people all about Calvin Coolidge, what they don't happen to get in school right this minute. But also on Amazon or in some bookstores. And we have annotated this with their footnotes to explain the things from 100 years ago that might not seem obvious.
Awesome.
But it's about a presidency after a big Republican disruption.
Wow.
And that's
awesome.
Very similar to now when the party's totally divided.
That's awesome. Awesome. Amity, thank you. You are welcome back.
Yeah.
This has been great. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate you joining us very much.
I am so grateful to you for this time and your audience.
Thank you so much, Amity. Take care.
That was interesting.
I learned something new every
day. I really like
every
that.
Day.
I want to look more into
Calvin
Coolidge
me
now.
Me too. All right. Affordable interest mortgage is next. Kurt's going to join us at 5 o'clock. We'll get an update on the market, the mortgage market, I should say, and the housing market as well. In the meantime, give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe, too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, RoofMax is next. Dave Hart wants to rejuvenate not only your roof, but make sure that you don't have any leaks, any shingles that need taken care of. He can do all of that at the same time. And again, folks, I will tell you, at the end of the day, this will save you money. Yes, you spend a little on the front side, but you'll save it on the back side. That's what RoofMax does for you. Give Dave a call today, 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes. Switching gears, we'd like some feedback on this particular topic, the way. Lines are open, 303-477-5600. There is a new rover on Mars.
Just landed, about an hour ago.
Doing what, Rachel?
It's specifically looking for life on Mars or past life on Mars.
Little Martian men.
Yes.
My favorite Martian.
Oh, stop it. And John and I were kind of debating. He doesn't believe that there's any kind of life out there. And I think there could be. I'm never going to rule that out. Only because I believe that our universe was created by God, and the creator, just being a creative person with a background in acting and creating, I never stop. I'm always thinking of something or in my just creating. So I have a hard time thinking that at some point God's just like, okay, I'm good.
But he creates life every day.
True. But I don't.
Plural.
Right. And I'd love to hear what people think about it. But I think that the uniqueness of Earth is that he gave us choice. Now, other things that he's created, possibly created, I think that they know he's God. I think that there could be other life out there that is totally acknowledging and knows the creator and worships him. But I know that sounds crazy, but the only reason I say this is because he's the creator.
But scripture's pretty clear on it's finished. This is good. Done.
Right. But
moving on.
Well, when he was working on Earth.
Right.
Right. I don't know. I just think that he, and it does say in certain translations, heavens, plural, and earth. So the heavens could contain other planets and other Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know.
I just don't believe it.
You don't?
No.
You really think that we are the only?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
Yes, I have no, in my mind, there's no doubt.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys sitting around waiting for the next UFO to show up. Not going
to
happen.
See, but no, that, and it wouldn't throw me at all. If it wouldn't, like, because I think some people are like, well, if there's other life, then that would just be more confirmation that there's a creator out there creating.
But for you to say that there's, this is my argument back.
Yeah, let's hear
to
it.
To say that there's other life forms that just worship him because he's him and they understand that and they keep worshiping. Okay, then where do the angels that had free will fit into all of this? Because they had free will.
They could almost be angelic beings. Do you know what I'm saying?
But they had free will. They didn't just worship to worship. They had free will.
Well, some followed in the fall, Satan, and then some stayed with, like, what was it? A third of them?
But they had free will to make that choice.
Right. Right. But
so why would some being on some foreign planet that we know nothing about not have that choice?
But wasn't that technically before the creation of Earth?
Yes. It was.
So I mean, Earth could have been created and then continued of creation. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's a interesting conversation to have and to hear what people think, because I think some people are like, oh, they're like you. There's no possibility. So just there's nothing. I mean, if they find water, if they find a single cell organism out there that's technically life, which is so crazy for the abortion folks out there, because it's like, I'm not even going to go there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's life. So
I had a texter that texted and said, the Mars rover so far has only found Ray Walston. He was the guy that played my favorite Martian. Pretty funny, actually.
That is funny.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, inside of even the, you know, Christendom, you know, am I going to, you know, split hairs with someone because,
no,
you know, they believe this way versus me? No.
Okay, let's say they do find something, John. Would that impact you in any way personally or spiritually?
No.
It wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
I honestly don't think they're going to either.
Right. And if they didn't find it, wouldn't, it's not going to shake my faith. Or in any way,
no.
Regardless of what.
I mean, I don't see, and I know there's folks out there, Elon Musk being one of them, that look at, you know, Mars as being sort of that next place that once we destroy this planet, we can all go there and inhabit it and hang out and do whatever we need to. And I think that's a pipe dream. I just don't see that ever happening. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, folks. I just don't see that.
There's some people that are like super, like my husband's super into space. Like, he would totally take a trip out to space. And
oh, I would do that.
Would you?
But I'm not into going to some other planet and hanging out if it so existed. No, I'm fine here. I like this Earth.
And what's crazy to me is we haven't really explored our ocean that much.
Yeah, I think there's places here we've probably never touched.
We have so much on Earth that we have not even, have no idea.
Agree. And we find all sorts of species of even new birds and plants and reptiles and so on, you know, almost on an annual basis. That do we really need to go find some other
planet? I think that we should always be pushing our technology, personally.
Not disagreeing. In fact, the one thing about the space program
space,
that I,
like,
you know,
I'm all
Charlie and I even saw as kids is, I mean, some of what's in front of us today, literally plastics, things like that, came from the space program. Mm-hmm. So did it do a lot for this country? I mean, there were people back then, by the way, that were really critical. Conservatives even, that were really critical back in the day of how much money was being spent on NASA and going to the moon and so on and so forth. And even the subsequent missions of, you know, going back to the moon and so on. There were people back then, conservatives, that didn't like the fact we were spending money on that. Hmm. I think even back then, I would have been one of those saying, well, wait a minute. I think this is one of those areas where when you look down the road and look at technology and look at what we've done and the capitalism that even surrounded what happened in NASA, and you know, things like Tang, and you know, where NASA would say, "Hey, we need X. You guys in the private sector, go figure this out." And we did, and we sent a man to the moon numerous times, and we're the only country that's ever landed anybody on the moon, to my knowledge. Did anybody else go on the moon yet? Did I say that correctly? I don't think any other humans have actually been on the moon besides Americans.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, the reality is we pretty much own the moon. I know the Chinese don't want me saying that, but the reality is we kind of do in a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what the private sector, just SpaceX with Elon Musk.
Oh, and he's done wonders.
Right.
I'll give him credit there.
Right. And so I totally support exploration of any kind. I really do. Like, I'm curious. Let's figure it out.
Well,
let's try to find it.
A, because all of that, even I think down the road, when we start talking about traveling, you know, around the globe. I mean, I think at some point in the not too distant future, if you're going to go to Australia, for example, right now,
right.
You hop on a plane, you go to Hawaii, you hang out there for a little bit, you hop on another plane most likely, and then you keep flying all the way down. I mean, I guess there are some planes that will do the entire trip, but that's it. I mean, that's a long haul.
Right.
Wouldn't it be much nicer just to kind of head up to take space and then dive right back down again?
It would, yes. Well, I mean, look, they're relanding rockets. They're reusing them.
And like
them.
I said, what that's, I just said, I don't think is that far out there.
Right, but that would have been unheard of just years ago that we're reusing rockets, and that's what we're doing.
Well,
for a tiny
cost
in the grand scheme of things.
That is one of those areas where NASA, because of deep pockets, us as taxpayers, mm-hmm. by the way, they would have, I'm being very serious, they would have never figured that out. It's only because that got privatized that got figured out.
Right.
They would have not relanded a rocket ever. NASA just had no incentive to do so.
No, if you have endless funding,
you just keep blowing them up.
We
who
need
cares?
More, yeah, but if you're like, okay, this is what we got to work with.
Right.
Let's figure it out.
Let's figure out how we're going to land these things. Yes. So yeah, I'll give Elon Musk here lots of credit for doing this, because these are literally rocket scientists figuring this stuff out, and I will give them lots of credit here in doing that. And yeah, I like you. I think any kind of exploration we do, whether it's in the deep sea, whether it's high on a mountaintop, whether it's out in, you know, space, you know, wherever it happens to be, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
go for it.
That
more the merrier.
There. Yeah, let's figure it out.
Well, that's where things that we now use daily come from.
Right.
I mean, you think about your cell phone and what you carry around and what we actually sent men to the moon with, which was, by the way, far less than what you're now carrying in your hand.
True. So, I know.
To me, it's almost amazing that mm-hmm. we did that. I mean, literally, we had guys back then, guys and gals, that literally were figuring out how to get men back and forth from the moon with a slide rule.
That's crazy.
Really no computer, just a slide rule. How in the world? I mean, these are smart guys.
Yeah.
Smart guys and gals.
Hmm.
Watch Hidden Figures, by the way. Any of you listening, if you want to know kind of the back end of that, it's a great, actually, you know, historical, you know, a thing that happened when it came to the black ladies that really, really did
aid. There's a film on that.
Yes, it's a great movie. Hidden Figures, it's
Hidden
called.
Hidden Figures.
It's worth watching, by the way, for all of you listening. It's a great movie and really gives insight into kind of what was going on at that time and how in this particular case, you know, black ladies really didn't fit in, but yet mm-hmm. they were so smart and were able to figure things out that no one else was, that they then, you know, because of their talent, made huge inroads, and it really helped out, you know, the whole, even the race, quote unquote,
race
division
space,
that we had back. Well, the race division
as
people.
Yes.
It really helped a lot of that out back in the day. It's a great movie, and it's true.
Wow.
It's really cool.
I'm interested to see what this rover finds. I mean, or not finds, or doesn't find.
Yeah, I'm just interested, period.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Here's a question. I don't know the answer. Maybe you can find this out during break. How long does it take us to get back the stuff of what's happened? What's the time length?
I don't know.
You don't just like blast it out and then get
an
answer back.
No, or like, or it's filmed something. And
yeah,
then,
how long does it take to come back here? Because that thing's way out there.
That's so true.
I mean, it's a gazillion miles away, so. We'll find out at the break. Okay. We'll come right back. Pure for Chevrolet's up next, folks. And you can call us. Let us know whether you think there's any life on Mars. 303-477-5600. Pure for Chevrolet, by the way, where you don't have to be a Martian to buy a new Chevrolet. You can just go out there shopping. It's like, it really is like going back in time to buy a car. It's hometown feel, and they just will take great care of you as you buy a new or a used car. They've got both. 303-659-8311 or purefreshchevrolet.com.
Hi, this is Marie with KLZ, and I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I am with Purifoy Chevrolet. Something we pride ourselves on at KLZ is we never advertise somebody without meeting them face-to-face and really feeling confident that they will take good care of our listeners. And I've never been in an auto dealer like Purifoy Chevrolet, and the reason is Rolly Purifoy. I know he would never say this about himself because he's a very humble man, but he holds himself personally to such an incredibly high standard that his example permeates the entire business. He was walking us through the building and there were these really nice clean ceiling tiles above my head, and he made some comment about how he had installed them himself. And the same with his stunning showroom has a new floor that he personally installed. And I think when you have a leader who cares about those details, it affects the entire atmosphere of the business.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, where, hey, you want to take a trip to space someday, you better save up.
Okay.
Better plan.
Plan it.
Better
plan
make sure trip. You got some money for that. Al can help you with that. Literally, he'll help you with the future and how to plan for it. He's a financial advisor, 303-744-1128, or find him again at klzradio.com.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern, making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Register now for a free retirement planning workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial at the Littleton Cafe. Dinner included, Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m. Sign up now at klzradio.com/money.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
What does $1,600 mean?
I don't understand why people in this country want to rely on our government. Our government can't even take care of what it is supposed to take care of. Why do you want them to take care of you?
I like your clarity very much. Thank you.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Ted Cruz.
Oh, gosh. He's in a little drama right now.
A little hot water.
Did you hear what he did?
Kinda? Yeah, kinda sorta.
Sorta?
I honestly have had so much other stuff going on, I haven't studied it much.
So Texas is freezing right now. We were talking a lot about Texas. Yeah. Okay. They're having a little bit of an ice storm, a little bit of cold weather, and kind of like not available to get electricity. There's no electricity right now. Well, they're getting it back now, right?
For parts, yes.
Well, it was like 3.5 million, I think, people were without electricity, not being able to get water. It's kind of a crisis. Like, if I was down in Texas, I'd kind of be freaking out a little bit.
And where was our good senator from Texas at the time?
Well, he was recently spotted at the airport flying to Cancun. And people got a little upset with me today on Twitter because I simply said I disagreed with his decision to fly to Cancun in the middle of this crisis. And people are like, well, Senator can't do anything and it's really up to the governor. And I get all that. I totally understand that. It's the optic, the optics of it all that I'm like,
Agreed.
You know, if you're in leadership, you lead. Well, like, that's just what you do.
On top of that, I think he's missing some really great opportunities as a senator from that state to really sit down and say, guys, this is not, you know, a dig at anybody, but let's look at where we're at in Texas.
Yeah.
25% renewables, quote unquote. We're now in the middle of, you know, freezing to death. We've got 20 plus people that have died.
Yeah,
we've got millions that are out of power right now. You know, we should look at this as an example of what not to do instead of what to do.
Right.
To me, this was a great sort of, you know, soundbite, teachable moment to the rest of the country that you could have had, but you have to be there to make that happen.
Right. And it also creates like a camaraderie with your constituents. So I don't know who is advising him, because if I was advising Ted Cruz, I'd be like, listen, this is your opportunity to be like, hey, we're in this, we're gonna fight this thing. All you got to delay is two or three days.
Not that big of a deal.
Right. Like, we're gonna get through this, and I'm here, and I'm doing everything I can. I just got off the phone with Governor Abbott, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. Like, I don't understand why you would make that move. I understand now he's saying, well, I was just getting his wife and kids to Cancun, and then he was gonna fly back. But it's like, just just take a little break, take a breather, let Texas get back to a good place, and then go on your trip.
And for everybody listening, by the way, I am, of all people, not against anybody vacationing ever.
No.
In fact, I think for a lot of folks that have, you know, really, full schedules where you're doing a lot of things, you're working 6 days a week plus, which a lot of those guys do. Hey, I get it. I'm all for, you know, that person taking a vacation. But I also know there is a time and a place for everything. And, you know, while I'm not necessarily being critical of Mr. Cruz, I will say that, again, I think he's missing a great opportunity, and he's giving lots of fodder to the other side.
Yes.
Because he's been one of the first people to criticize others.
Yes.
For doing the same thing.
And here's the deal.
Right?
This, yeah, totally. And this is what conservatives...
He's a little hypocritical is what I'm
right.
getting at. I'm being a little hypocrite here.
Yeah, but what conservatives fail to do is, like, it's okay to disagree with the decision he made. Like, for some reason, we think, like, if you disagree, then, like, you totally have abandoned him and you're not. I support Ted Cruz. I like him. I think he's a great senator. I love his sarcasm. I love, you know.
Smart.
He's smart.
Okay.
He's witty. He's a great, you know, great lawyer background. He's very intelligent. But I disagree with the decision he made. And it's okay to disagree with the decision that someone on your side of the aisle makes. It's okay. And so I just thought that was interesting that people are suddenly, like, freaking out. I'm like, there's no reason to freak out. He made a bad call, a call I completely disagree with. Just like I disagree with Governor Cuomo out there, and I'm not on his political side of the aisle. That guy, he's in big trouble if you've been paying attention to what's going on with him. John, have you been following the story with Cuomo?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well. Bits and pieces of, yes. I mean, it's
he's
always...
He's in hot water
now. Yeah, he is.
Because now... Okay,
rightfully so, by the way.
So he knowingly put people that had COVID back into nursing homes with people, resulting in thousands of people dying in New York. Like, thousands. And then he hid the evidence. Like, now he's like...
He's a scumbag.
Right.
Let's face it. The guy's a scumbag.
But now, even people on his side of the aisle, like...
Are turning against
him? Yeah, the attorney general there, she's... They're... It's getting nuts.
Well, people died.
Yeah.
This isn't like he just made a little teeny mistake.
No.
It's not like he came back from vacation too soon or went on vacation like Ted Cruz is
right.
doing. People died.
Right. So, yeah.
Big difference here.
Huge difference. Huge difference. But it's okay to... What I'm saying is it's okay to call people out on all sides. If they're doing something,
if
you're
we,
like, eh.
And I said this before with Trump and got a lot of accusations flown my way that... You know, I was a rhino and all sorts of other things. And frankly, I could really care less. Call me whatever you want to. I really don't care. I also know that it's the responsibility of good leaders, which I feel that I am, to call things out as you see them. You know, I'm
right.
a radio show host. I think it's part of what I'm supposed to do here on a daily basis anyways. If I see something on either side of the aisle that shouldn't be that way, I think it's my obligation and duty to let you know that and to inform you of that. If I'm just a cheerleader...
Yeah.
Constantly,
then we're
never,
not getting better.
Yeah, then never right. calling anybody out. I mean, iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And if you've got, and this is just a known fact, if you're an individual that doesn't have anybody around you calling you out on the things you're doing wrong, you'll never get better.
No, that you have
so
to have
how
accountability.
As a party
right.
can we not get better if we don't do these things?
Right.
I.e. with Ted Cruz
yeah,
right
hey,
now.
Yeah, not a good decision,
Ted. I would have made a different decision.
Yeah, and it's okay to say that. So, you know.
It's more than okay.
Yeah.
In fact, it's our duty
yeah.
to say that.
Right.
So for those of you that are even against Rachel saying that, no, it's not, you're foolish. Sorry, you're just being foolish. You're living a pipe dream.
Yeah.
And you are doing, by the way, exactly what we accuse the left of doing. You are following blindly. Not calling out things that should be called out, which is what we accuse the left of all the time. So if you're doing that with Ted Cruz, shame on you. You're as guilty as the left.
Right. I mean, and I was calling out Governor Newsom, whatever, when he was whining and dining.
And by the way, it wouldn't matter.
It
doesn't matter,
home.
Rachel, if you're calling any of those guys
right.
out or not. It's actually more important for us, you and I as conservatives, to call out conservatives not doing
to
it
hold
correctly
each other accountable.
Than it is the other. I don't care what the other side does.
Yeah.
They're putzes anyways.
Yeah, they are.
But when it comes to this, of course we need to hold these people accountable. It's our job and duty.
Right.
Jeff in Weld County, you're next, sir.
Hey, John, you guys are talking about leadership factors and,
right.
and you know, people calling out even, you know, people in our own parties for that. One of the biggest factors in being a leader and an effective leader is not just calling other people out. The biggest part in my mind of being a leader is you give out credit and you take blame.
Right. Right. Yes. Exactly. Exactly, Jeff. Yes.
It ends with you.
Yes. Yeah, there's this old saying, everything, and I've said this before numerous times, I've said this about the 2020 election with Trump, and people didn't like me saying this, Jeff, but everything rises and falls on leadership. So if you're the leader of the free world, Donald Trump himself, and you lose an election, who do you have to blame? No one. Yourself. Go look in the mirror.
And I love Trump.
I do too.
I still love him.
I love Ted Cruz.
That was his biggest downfall as being a leader is his unwillingness to accept blame for anything.
That I will agree with, Jeff. Yes.
You accept credit for nothing, and you accept blame for everything if you want to be a good leader of people.
Yeah, and in this particular case, and by the way, I'm not saying Ted Cruz is a poor leader by any stretch of the imagination.
I think
Ted is a very good leader,
but
in this case, Jeff, he just made a mistake in what he did. He wasn't thinking clearly.
Yeah,
he didn't think that through in the perception of it.
No.
And by the way, leaders make mistakes, guys. Nobody out there, myself, Jeff, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Charlie, none of us are perfect.
No.
But I think it's our duty, especially as conservatives, to call these things out. So frankly, Jeff, they don't happen again.
Exactly. You have to call them out, and you have to accept responsibility for your mistake.
Right.
So yeah, that way, Ted needs to stand up and say that was a bonehead decision. I didn't think that through. And it didn't work. It didn't look right.
Yeah, instead of coming back, Jeff, and saying, well, I was just trying to get my wife and kids there and I was going to turn around and come right back, he should have said something like, you guys are right. That was a bonehead move on my part.
Yep.
I should have just went ahead and set my wife and kids down. I could have sent an aide with them even to make sure they got there okay. I really didn't think through that correctly.
Right.
You know what? Yes, my place is here. I'm a Texan. I need to make sure Texas is represented correctly. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Right. Done.
And then it would be a done deal.
That's a done deal, right?
Over with.
But these guys don't, I hate to
say
it.
They have a hard time.
We don't do it on our side of the aisle either.
Yeah, we have a hard time being like, hey, I messed up. Sorry. I'll do better. I'll do better next time around.
That is, there's a huge shortcoming across all of society in that. Nobody's willing to take blame for anything.
Yeah.
They want to. Everybody has an excuse for something.
Right.
It's an ego. It's an ego issue, I think. I think a lot of it's ego.
And there's
a lot of ego in politics.
There is. And I think when it comes to folks like Ted, now I can't say I don't know Ted personally, so I'm sort of speaking off the cuff. But my gut feeling is, and Jeff and Rachel, you guys can chime in on this, but I think also what happens to these guys is they're so afraid of admitting fault, knowing that the left is then going to just tear them a new one because they admitted fault. They won't admit fault because of what I just said. Although, if they would just admit fault, then the other side doesn't have any fodder anyways, mm-hmm. So why not just admit it and move on? But I think their fear is they're going to have a lot more repercussions if they're honest and say I screwed up versus then trying to work around it and mm-hmm. say some of the things he said instead.
Most of the time,
But even if you take politics out of it and just look at it as a leadership role. It's a systemic problem in this country.
Yeah. It is.
That people will not take responsibility or accept blame for anything.
Right.
They're unwilling to.
But
they
always
have to have an excuse for what they mm-hmm. did.
Exactly. But what people fail to realize is when someone acknowledges that they messed up or they take responsibility, the story shortly ends.
Yeah. Move on.
It's like, oh, okay. And then it's like this awkward pause, and then you move on. If you continue to get defensive, when you know you're in the wrong, then you're just digging a hole. And it's the story continues, and it gets worse and worse and worse. So I wish more leaders would recognize, hey, accept the fault.
Right.
Take the loss and move on.
You guys are right. And Jeff, you're correct. I think this is systemic in lots of leadership positions across the country, from churches to business to wherever.
Business life, John.
Oh yes, many times.
I see it. It's like you expect that you're working with a bunch of mature adults, but getting somebody to admit that they made a mistake is like trying to get a 4-year-old to admit that they made
a
mistake.
You're right. And unfortunately, Jeff, you are correct. It should not be that way.
But no one's perfect.
No.
See, that's the thing, is that we're not perfect. We do make mistakes. We're humans.
The problem is,
everybody,
Jeff, we've lost what it really truly means to be a leader, unfortunately.
Yes, and that is a huge part of it. And that's
that
gone
is
away,
true.
And it's a systemic problem. I don't care what industry you're in this country.
I agree. I agree. Jeff, thanks, as always. It's a great call, and he's right. And again, folks, we are not being you know, critical of what Ted Cruz has done in his entire life. We're just saying this is a mistake he made, and he should have just handled it differently.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
I
don't know that he – well, I'll use the correct words. He had to have thought through this, and I don't know what was going through his head because he has been one of the leaders in calling out some of the other side for doing this same thing and being hypocrites.
Did he have electricity? Did he have water?
Well, does it matter?
Well, but I mean, if you're like, hey, we don't have any water, we don't have any electricity, let's fly to Cancun. That sounds good. Let's go. I mean, like, do you not, like, connect?
You can't do that either.
But no.
Because the optics of that are even worse.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, either way, like, you have to acknowledge, like, the situation you're in. Like, was he just not aware of the situation? I don't understand. Like, that's where I struggle because I'm like, this is kind of like national news. It was like world news.
Everybody knows this one.
So
Texas is like a country.
Yeah, and so I'm just struggling with like
it's the bigger than some countries,
like
by the way.
How you come to the conclusion of, let's get on a plane and find a cocoon. I don't either.
But all right, American National Insurance is next. If you need some help on your insurance, by the way, a lot of folks do. And I will tell you lately, I don't know what the deal is, but I have gotten more of those, hey, come join us and your insurance will be X letters.
Oh, yeah.
I throw them away. I just constantly toss them. Why? Because I've got a really great deal with what I do right now at American National Insurance, the rebate program, everything else they have going on. Ask Paul how all of that works, and he most likely will save you money. 303-662-0789. Paul Leuenberger, my insurance agent.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair folks, and don't forget they've got 20-plus service bays to service you, a towing company that goes with it. They can make sure you're taken care of, and they do diesel repairs as well. So take some of that stimulus money that you may be getting, get your vehicle fixed up, make it reliable. As I talked earlier, reliability has an expense to it. Do that at Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071, or again, find them at klzradio.com.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Compassionate student loan forgiveness? Big government and big education like each other. The price for college rose significantly when the government got involved in the student loan business. Kids were and are encouraged to incur significant debt to get an education. Kim Munson here. Friday, author and millennial Alan Thomas will be in studio to talk about compassionate solutions to student loan debt. Plus, Casper Stockham shares why he should be the next Colorado State GOP chair. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, a few minutes left of this hour. Kurt Rogers is going to join us at the top of the hour. And this is also an article you're not going to find much in mainstream as far as I've seen. I just happened to find this on some of the more left-leaning sites in Colorado that I peruse from time to time. And headline reads, Colorado's judicial branch to be investigated for sexual harassment and gender discrimination.
Oh, what?
So what's interesting about this is a lefty, you know, publication, if you would, kind of calling out their own. Because let's face it, the judicial branch in Colorado, I don't think I would consider them to be on the conservative end of things at all. So this is really interesting that, you know, we've got, you know, the Attorney General's office, Governor Polis, and others that are basically saying, we got to get this investigated, get to the bottom of it, and find out what's going on.
Sexual
and
if you
read through the entire story, essentially, yeah, there's sort of a pattern here of, you know, things going on that shouldn't be, and women not getting promoted and or getting fired at a totally different rate than men, and. Hmm. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this comes out, because there's really, how should I say this, some shady things that have gone on inside of the judicial branch here in Colorado that, quite frankly, should not be going on, should not be happening.
Yeah.
This is basically on, you know, all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court. This is stuff that just should not be happening, to the point now to where the Colorado Supreme Court says that Boatwright, who is one of the chief justices, has directed that he be notified and receive weekly updates on all future misconduct complaints across the judicial branch to ensure each incident is fully investigated and acted on as appropriate without delay, because frankly, that has not been happening up to this point.
Wow. Well, that's good to see.
By the way, again, this is news that you're just not going to see typically on some of your other left-leaning news sites in town or in the state. So this is, by the way, I think a much, much bigger story than what you're going to hear in mainstream media, because this is one of those things where they would probably like to see this thing buried and not hear anything about it. Because let me tell you what, I think there's going to be more come of this, whether it's publicized or not will be a bigger question, but there's millions of dollars of some things that have gone on with, you know, training contracts and things along those lines. You know, we're not talking just people getting canned and maybe some issues that way. We're talking, you know, contracts being awarded to people that probably shouldn't have been, where there wasn't the, the bid process taken into account like it should be, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's sort of like,
shady.
You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of a deal. And that's not how the judicial branch is supposed to work, folks.
Don't get me started on the judicial branch. Not even close.
So anyway, this is an interesting article that really was coming out of a very left-leaning publication here in Colorado.
Well, that's good to see.
Calling out their own.
That's refreshing and extremely rare.
It is very rare. When I saw this, it caught my eye, and I was like, ooh, really?
Show me this rare moment.
Let me
savor it.
Let me catch it. And I read through this, and it's interesting. Those of you out there looking for it, you can find it on the Colorado Sun, which, again, is not a right-leaning organization by any means. Go read about it. It's actually, headline is, Colorado's Judicial Branch to be Investigated for Sexual Harassment and Gender Discrimination.
Shocker.
Yeah. So
I don't even know what to say to that.
Go look it up. We'll be right back, though. A Good Shop is up next. I said earlier, if you've had any issues during these past few storms we've had, you've had an accident or, you know, fender benders, things along those lines, which, by the way, is an accident. You know, other things, even sometimes, you know, you can get a door ding, a key scratch, things like that. They'll do anything. It doesn't have to be a major collision to get something fixed. They'll do anything at A Good Shop. So they've got a great mobile estimating app as well for some of the things I just mentioned. Call them directly, 720-541-7697, or again, find them at klzradio.com.
Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to improve because they want to help more people. Al Sturm started A Good Shop because he saw a need. Back when he worked as an insurance adjuster, Al got a call from a confused customer looking for some help after a collision. Once Al had walked him through his insurance claim, this customer wanted to know what he should do next. Al told him, "The first thing you do is find a good shop." Even back then, Al saw the way corporate conglomerates ran the auto body industry. They dictated the process, so their customers didn't have much of a choice. Al wanted to give his customers options. Today, Al and his team at A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City keep on finding new ways to control the quality of their work so they can provide an alternative to the big guys. After a collision, the first thing you do is find A Good Shop. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we'll take Diana in just a moment. Before that, though, I wanted to make sure everybody heard this because Rach and I kind of, we've had so much going on today, we didn't get to it yet. But the CNN town hall with Biden. China Joe,
yeah.
Biden.
Nuts.
You guys need to watch that because there's a lot of information in there, even some of his side kind of looking at that saying, what did you just say?
Yeah, even some of the left right now is like, wait a minute, China is not our friend.
That's right.
The way they treat people over there is that, concentration camps, discrimination, raping women, minorities, like they are not our friend.
No.
And the way that he said, oh yeah, it's just cultural differences.
That's not true.
It's not cultural differences.
Dan, we got 30 seconds. What's going on, sir?
Hey, I'll have to call you guys back later. I used to work for the judicial branch in the state court administrator's office, so I could give you guys a little bit more insight, but I don't have enough time to do it right now.
Yeah.
And
well, that would be great.
Yeah.
I'll have to call you guys back.
That'd be awesome.
You know.
No, that'd be great. Again, that was kind of a shocker for me to even, read some of that and the fact that the left's even calling out the left.
Right?
I was surprised at that.
It's really interesting.
Yep. So I got some insights I could maybe give you guys.
You're the man. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it very much. Guys, that's why we have great listeners. A lot of you have insight to things that I will never be inside the judicial branch anywhere ever. That is one thing I can tell you for a fact.
Yeah,
it'll never be me. So, Rachel, thanks. I know
Thank
we're going to do a switch
so
here.
Fun.
Kurt's going to join us, so thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I always appreciate it. How do folks find you?
ConservativeMama.com. I'm all over social media. Do my thing.
All right, we'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.